But brethren, you know, we are awed with God, aren't we? The greatness of God, you know, we can just be awed with that, you know, by his power. You know, God's power, when you look out in the universe, well, night sky. Yeah, if you ever go out in the night, and if it's clear night, we haven't had too many of those lately, but if you go out at night and you look up at the sky with all the beautiful stars, then we only see just a small amount of stars. You might see 2,000, 3,000. Today, you know, we know there's a lot more than that, don't we? Well, why is that? Because we have the technology to see out there, and we're beginning to see God's greatness. That is awesome power out there. You know, when you understand about power, they say, you know, our sun is just an average-sized sun. And the amount of energy that sun puts off. You know, man, how long man has been on the earth? 6,000 years? And all the energy that man has used, all the energy that he's used, he has, still, the sun puts out more in 1 second. All of humanity has ever used in their history. That's incredible. 1 second. And so you have, how many stars are out there? Do you know the number? God does. But we don't, do we? I mean, we keep discovering more and more. You know, the Hubble telescope, I point it in a little, you know, little area about like this, and they'll dark area in the sky, and they'll point the Hubble telescope in that area and leave the shutter for about 11 days open. And so after that 11 days, they process the light, all those photons that come into that telescope, and they come up with this fantastic picture. 10,000 galaxies. Another time with 5,000 galaxies, another time 3,500 galaxies, and they just keep discovering more and more stars. And so there's astronomers now are estimating that, you know, there could be well over 2 trillion galaxies. You know, we used to think those are about 100 billion galaxies, so they've upped the number to 2 trillion. And one astronomer said, we don't know. It could be infinite. It could be a universe that just continues. And we don't even know. Because the more we look, the more we discover. And so you take, remember the sun? How much energy it puts out in 1 second? I mean, there are suns a lot bigger than our sun. 1,500 times bigger than our star. There are galaxies out there. There's one galaxy, the IC 1101 galaxy, that's an elliptical galaxy. It is so huge. It has 100 trillion stars in it, they estimate. 100 trillion. Can you fathom that number? Your body may have 100 trillion cells. You're pretty stacked, you know. I mean, 100 trillion cells, I mean, that's a bunch. I mean, they're so small, you know. And but it takes you like, you know, probably close to, I think they said 300,000 or 400,000 years to count to 100 trillion, if you count 5 numbers in 1 second. So you can imagine just what, how much 100 trillion is. We can't comprehend that. But they say there are more stars than all the sand grains on the face of the earth. You think, come on. When I first read that, I thought that was just, that's an exaggeration. Every astronomer, every scientist, yes, there are more stars than all the sands and grains on the earth. And you talk about energy, power. That's a lot of power, a lot of power. Our minds can't even begin to comprehend that power. And, you know, even on the earth we have power that is so awesome. Did you know one grain of salt? There's enough atoms in that grain of salt that would power your house for 3 months. All the power you want to use. I mean, you can leave your lights on. You can burn, you know, turn your heat on and just go off and leave it on 24/7 for 3 or 4 months. One grain of salt. One tree. One average-sized tree. All the power that's in that tree, if it could be released all at once, it would be enough power to power the whole nation of the United States 10 years. 10 years. That's how much power. I burn a tree up, and it will only last a week. I can't get it out of there. But that's the power that's in it. We should be thankful that it doesn't all come out at one time. Because in God's power, we're awed by that. We're so awed. When you think about it, you consider the awesome power of God and His mind. His mind is so awesome, is infinite. There's no limit to His intelligence. His IQ, probably, is forever. Here, if we think, IQ 170, 180 is just, that's about max. That's awesome. To God, it's nothing. He said, we're as nothing and the nations are as nothing. He's infinite in His power, His mind, His creative ability. You look at the animals around you, every last one of them, every one of their own kind, they do things according to the way they're programmed. And they're all different. That's one of the things evolution can't handle. The very fact that all of these species of life, they all program differently. And God has done that. It's a proof that there's an intelligent being. And we marvel at that by His creation. And I had to tell a story about an old time that I was driving through Bella Vista. And that's a village we live in. And we were driving through there, and there's a creek on one side, and there's a golf course. And the creek runs through the golf course. And the golfers are always out in that creek. You can tell how good the golfers are. They're always out in that creek picking up their golf balls. But anyway, I almost ran off the road because I was watching this eagle. He was flying around. All of a sudden, he took a dive. He just took a dive. And I almost dived off the road because I saw him just dive down through there. And they say that eagles dive 100 miles an hour. How does he break? And here he's flying down. And he sees a fish. And he's got his radar. Evidently, he must have radar because he's got fixed onto that. He doesn't miss. That fish is all the time moving around. The fish doesn't say, come and get me. It doesn't do that. That fish is moving. But that eagle's got his mind on him, an eye on it. And he didn't miss. He came out of that water just, that old fish was just a wobbling, just flopping. I can fish for a week. Never do that good. That's just the way we are. We don't have that. But God has created that in the minds and in those programmed animals and creatures like that. It's just an awesome thing when you consider God's creation, His power, His mind, His creative ability. We just marvel at that. But there's something better. Something better than that. We're awed by that. But God wants us to know something more about Him than just His power, just His intellect, His creative ability, which is marvelous. Oh, I'm so glad He's that way. But one thing I'm really glad, I'm really happy about, I rejoice, we all should rejoice about over this, the fact that God is love. Love. Can you imagine that? A being that's existed forever. How long has He had love, you wonder? I was thinking about that the other day. How long has God had love? Evidently, always. That's just the way He is. It says God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. And it says that twice in that chapter, that God is love. He not just shows love. He doesn't maybe have love. He is love. He is love. And because He is love, He has all of these good things that come out of Him. All these good things. And those good things, we ought to know what those are. If you read Galatians 5:22, you know what those good things are, don't you? There's kindness, and there's mercy, and there's compassion, gentleness. Mr. Meeker brought a sermon on God of gentleness in Branson, Missouri, this on the President's Weekend in Branson. But I picked one of these today. Picked one of these to talk to you today about, and that is mercy. With God, all of his power and his mind, and he has his mercy. Well, it's incredible. We just stop and think about it. A lot of times we just take things for granted. You know, we read about it, we read the Bible, read over it, you know, and we just kind of go on about our way. And we don't really let it soak in that this God that we serve is a God of love, that out of that love, his mercy. I want to go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Here Paul is giving us the reason that God is merciful. Ephesians 2, verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Now, when you say rich in mercy, you think about when you're rich. Well, you have lots of it. I mean, you're just what you are. I mean, what you have. You're just rich in it. And God is rich in mercy. And I'm sure he's filled up with it. It's just filled with mercy. Because of what? But why is he merciful? Because his great love. Of his great love, which he loved us. Which he loved us. So the title of the sermon today, The God of Mercy. The God of Mercy. You know, mercy appears about 273 times in the Bible. The King James Version, that is. But what does it mean? Well, it means compassion. It means pity. It's acts of kindness. You know, there are related words to that, of forgiveness and gentleness, generosity. That's acts of kindness. Actually, it was part of the definition of mercy. But today, I want to take you through six ways that God shows his mercy. I mean, we could think of more than this. I mean, it's not just, that's just not, the full list of it. There is more. It could be added to it. But I just want to go through six because Nathan said I only have 55 minutes. So that's what he told me, Dad, you can take whatever you want. 55 minutes. No, he didn't say that. He said, you know what? I forgot my phone, so I don't really know. I did that in Henderson this morning, and I didn't speak long enough. Boy, I'm sure he's just panting already. He's sweating over there. We'd like to get out for dinner anyway. Anyway, we will go through six ways that God has shown his mercy. And it's still showing it. I mean, God doesn't quit. I mean, it doesn't give out on him. And we're going to find those in the scriptures today. But the number one, I want to go through, God has revealed throughout the Bible he is merciful. He wants us to know he is merciful, and he wants us to bless him for it. You know that? God wants us to bless him for it. What does that mean, bless? I mean, how can we bless God? What do we have to give him? Well, we have a lot. We have our thanksgiving. And, you know, we can be grateful and thankful to him for it. He wants us to know that. He wants us to rejoice over that. We should rejoice over it once we really see the wondrous and merciful God that he is. I want to go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Remember now when Israel went out of Egypt, and God, he was merciful, to them because of his promise to Abraham. And he brought Israel out of Egypt, and he told them, that I'm going to be your God. And they saw his power. They saw him part the Red Sea. They saw him, saw the pillar of cloud by day. Pillar of fire by night. And, they were going through the wilderness, and God was, taking care of them. He was taking care of them. But they didn't realize that. They didn't know. They didn't really realize that. Because, see, they had been in Egypt, 400 years? And all they knew was Egypt. All they knew about the culture of Egypt. They knew about the religion of Egypt. They knew about their gods. And their gods were cruel gods. And they could see that through the taskmasters that were beating them to death, many of them to death every day. They had it bad. It's whatever is slavery. And so God brought them out of Egypt to teach them about Him. And so when He has them come to Mount Sinai, and when He shows His power, a little bit of His power, when it comes down on Mount Sinai, the mountain, catches on fire, smoke, and they're afraid. They're so afraid when God started giving them the Ten Commandments, and they didn't want to hear Him. They said, "No, I don't want to hear you. We want to listen to Moses. We don't want to hear you. We're afraid of you." And so Moses was their mediator. And so Moses talked to God. And God revealed everything to Moses. In fact, Moses became a good friend of God. But then over Exodus 34, Moses had requested. He said, "Eternal." That's what Lord is. Lord is ever living, everlasting, eternal. "Show me your glory." Because he was getting to know God. He wanted to see His glory. I don't know what Moses was thinking. He wanted to see His power, I guess. He wanted to see God's power. What He was like, His glory. He already saw His power. I'm sure that he just wanted to see probably more of His glory, what He was like. And God did. I mean, he agreed to Moses, "Yes, I'll do this." He said, "But I'll have to hide you in the rock." And He did. He hid Moses in the rock because the reason He did that, He said, "You're going to see my backside." Because if you see my backside, he was only going to get a glimpse. He was only going to get a glimpse of God's glory. But this is one of the things God wanted them to know. And He wanted them to tell Moses to teach the children of Israel. In verse 6 of Exodus 34, it says, "And the Lord passed before Moses," or passed before him, "and proclaimed, 'The eternal, the everlasting God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth.'" God wanted Moses to understand that about Him. People didn't know that. You can see the power of God and you can see all of His creation. But do we in the church really comprehend the mercy of God? I don't think we'll ever be able to comprehend it. How awesome He is in mercy, how rich He is in mercy. Keeping mercy for thousands. And eventually it'll be for billions. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 kind of ties in with this one. Because Moses was to teach the children of Israel not just about God's power, not about His creative power, about His mind, but also about His mercy. Let's begin in verse 7. He said, "And He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel, that the Lord is merciful and gracious." He said, He made His ways known to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. See what He's zeroing in on? That God that you serve is a merciful God and is good, is gracious, and slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And, brethren, when we understand that, we really understand that about God, it'd be easier to worship the God that we serve. Because we know He's compassionate, gracious, and we could come before Him. And He wants us to know that. Most of the religions of the world, well, actually all the religions of the world, their gods that they serve are not merciful. Which says a lot about what these gods are like, that they're all man-made gods. Even professing Christianity is not preaching really a merciful God, even though they say in this age that God is merciful. Oh, God is merciful, but only in this age, which leaves out 90% of the human race. 90% or more It could be even more than that. Wow. Okay, could you really preach a merciful God in this? When God says in all the other many places in the Bible that he doesn't want anyone to perish, that all should come to repentance. And yet they preach, this is the only day of salvation. And this is the only day of salvation. How can there be a merciful God? Only to a few. Only to a few, that 5% or 10% that will go to heaven and they proclaim, they preach. How can it be? You're unique. You have a unique doctrine, a unique understanding. It's not just our man-made doctrine. This is understanding the Bible. Because God said he is merciful. I want to turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Psalms has a lot to say about God's mercy. Psalm 145. At verse 1, and I will extol you, my Lord, God, my King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. In other words, I will praise you, and I will acknowledge who you are. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. Even the Apostle Paul said that. Oh, how the riches and mercy of God is unsearchable. And verse 8, because the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. We see that God is a merciful God. He wants us to know that. He really had desires that for all of us to know. The second point, God's mercy never fails. We have a song we sing. God's mercy never fails. His mercy never fails. You know, man's mercy fails. We draw lines in the sand, don't we? Where our mercy will end. You know, I can only have mercy this far, and that's it. You know, we do that. You know, it's easy because we have a nature that we have to overcome. We have a nature that we have to overcome because a lot many times we're not as merciful. We're not near as merciful as God. We're not rich in mercy like that. To forgive somebody 490 times. It's tough. I know. God's mercy never fails, though. God said he wants us to know that. My mercy won't fail. I want to go to Psalm 136 because Psalm 136 is an interesting psalm. Psalm 136. In verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, verse 1, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, you can read the whole chapter. Every verse ends with, his mercy endures forever. Amazing. His mercy in everything. If you read this, it has to do with everything that involves us, involves his creation. Involves everything about is out there. His mercy. And it ends with, his mercy endures forever. And then verse 26, oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. And you'll just take time to read that chapter. I'm not going to read all of that, but every one of them says, his mercy endures forever. So God wants us to know that, doesn't he? That his mercy never ends. It never ends. It's infinite. He'll always be merciful. Just because we all will enter the kingdom of God, you know, one day and his mercy just ends. Oh, no, it'll always be. Because we'll all be, we should have mercy too. I want to go to point three. That was a short one, wasn't it? Point two. You're all excited, aren't you? Wait till I get point six. It'll make up for point two, three, or two, and three, and four. Point three. He takes care of his creation. He's a great provider. He's a great provider and the sustainer. You know, sometimes we take for granted, don't we, what we eat, what we drink, the air we breathe, and all of those things that we know we have to have. It all comes from God. Did you know that a farmer could claim that he produces all of that food that you eat? You know what the percentage that his labor is in that food? 5%. Guess who does the other 95? You got it. You all got an A on that one. It's God. God has 95%. When you consider all that goes in raising that food, man does very little. No wonder we need to ask God's blessing on the food. God's blessing on everything. Now, we thank Him for everything. Amazing that God takes care of His creation. Let's read some scriptures on this. I have three on this, three scriptures. And Psalm 104. And we will go to verse 10. Verse 10, He sends the springs into the valleys, which flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their habitation. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes heart glad the heart of man. You know, He does a lot of other things that's not mentioned here. Do you know what you see is a blessing? You know, you have a little old spectrum of light. It's called the EM spectrum, or the electromagnetic spectrum. And in that light, we only see about this much. You know, you have infrared light, microwave, the other side you have ultraviolet light, and you have gamma ray, and you have also radio waves. And all those, you know, if we saw all of that, we'd have light all the time. It'd never get dark. If we could see all of that, we'd be in a fog of light continually. You'd never be able to sleep because it'd be daylight all the time. You'd have to work 24/7. We see God put a little, or give us a little spectrum. I mean, it's got, you know, let me just use a scale. If you have a scale this long, the spectrum we see is only this much. And it's like the rainbow colors that we see. And what we see, those colors kind of mix. Do you know you have all different colors, you know, primary colors, and you mix them together, you can make other colors. Well, that's the way God has made that, where we see things. And you know, the easiest, you know, the color that's easiest on your eyes is green. Why do you think the summertime, everything's green? You know, the trees, the grass, all of those wonderful things. And you have flowers, you know, it's kind of compliment and so forth. But that color green is easy on your eyes. He could have made red grass. Would that be horrible? Go out, mow my grass, be red? Or black, or bluegrass. Oh, I think Kentucky has bluegrass, don't they? Y'all weird up here then. We have green. But you know, that's true, though. You have this wonderful blessing from God. Mercy, and all mercy is involved there. And He could have made it so much different because we're just temporary, aren't we? Why, you know, I remember when Nathan and I would be working, you know, we'd put something up temporary just to hold something. We'd just slap it together. If we go, we know we're going to break it back down. Why waste all the money and time, you know? You can put it together just as fast as you can so you can just tear it down. God didn't do that, did He, with us? We're temporary. He said, well, you're just like the grass that grows and you dry up and time the fall comes, you're just out of here. That's the way God's perspective is on our life. We're just that way. To His, in His perspective. But you know what? He made it to where we'd enjoy it. We would enjoy the colors of His sunset. You'll go on your back porch. If you're facing the west, you see the sunset. Or if you're on the beach, which we get a lot of pictures when our children are on the beach, and they send us picture after picture after picture, you know, the beach and the sunset, and, you know. And you know, they try to make us envious. But they haven't been able to do that. Make us envious. Well, I'm lying. I know. There's a lot of stories of these things, but I won't go into them. He's over there shaking his head. He's a why. I say, he knows I'm just on the verge of saying something. Please, Dad, don't. He is a boss today. Where was I? Oh, yes, the Lord is good to all. Yeah, we read that back in 145, Psalm 145:9, that God is good to all, and He blesses all. The earth is full of God's mercy, as I've mentioned before, I think, but you can read it on Psalm 119, verse 64. The earth is full of God's mercy. So let's go to point four. God has mercy on His enemies. He still does. You know, God has mercy on His enemies. We humans are not good at that, are we? We're not good at having mercy on our enemies. In Matthew 5:43, Jesus Christ was teaching His disciples about mercy. And He said, you know, you've heard it be said of old, you know, chapter 5, verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And that was what you did back then. That's what they said. They taught, you know, you just love, you hate your enemies. But I say to you, Christ said, no, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? So that you can be sons of your Father in heaven. He said, for this is the way God is, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends His rain on the just, on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? I mean, you haven't accomplished anything. You haven't grown. You haven't profited. You haven't come back with a profit. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more? Not even the tax collector, the heathen does that. I mean, your neighbor can do that. The only one people that God hasn't called, they do that. God has called us in to do even more than that. He said, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. God says, I want you to be perfect. Christ said, you have to be perfect like your Father. Have that mercy, rich in mercy. If you're rich in mercy, you'll forgive your enemy. You'll love your enemy. You'll pray for them. Do good to them. Like I said, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of prayer on your knees. And you know, I really don't have it. You've got to give it to me, Father. I just don't have that. And if you want me to be like you, you're going to have to give me that help to do that. Because when I get on the highway, I'm not that way. You know, I mean, whenever my neighbor, I'm not that way so much. I'm a neighbor that doesn't like me, that hates my guts. Or somebody that in my family that just really hates my religion, what I do. They hate me. What do? I do good. Pray. And do those wonderful things to them like God does. God loves His enemies. he doesn't compromise with his law, that doesn't mean that he's going to just let it get by. That he's so merciful that he doesn't have no laws. He doesn't have a standard. Well, there is conditions for his mercy to really be felt. See, if the wicked does not, they do not repent, they'll be destroyed. Actually, that will be a mercy for, that will be merciful those who are in the kingdom. Why would we want sin in the kingdom? We've already wanted to overcome it. We want to get rid of it. And to have sin coming in the kingdom, God's going to have to destroy that. But his mercy is always there. That doesn't mean he doesn't have mercy anymore. It just means that he has to fulfill the requirements of the law. See, they haven't come under Christ's sacrifice. And so they will have to suffer the requirements of the law. What's the requirement of the law? It's not repented. If you do not repent of your sins, death. Death. God delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. You know, some people think, well, because Israel sinned so much that God just abandoned them. Now, I've heard sermons on that from the Protestant church, Protestant religion. They said God has abandoned Israel. The church is spiritual Israel, which is true. That's true. But God hasn't abandoned Israel. The Apostle Paul brought that out of Romans 11:25. All of Israel will be saved. God's mercy will be shown to them. See, he lets them all remain in their disobedience. Let them remain in their blindness until the fullness of time, until his time comes to save them. He has a new covenant ready for them. New covenant. We're under the new covenant right now. In this age, the church is under the new covenant. The rest of the world will not be under the new covenant until Christ comes. And he will make a new covenant with Israel and then with the rest of the nations. Israel first. He will have mercy on all. The Apostle Paul said, oh, how great and how wonderful are the riches of God. They're unsearchable. Our minds can't comprehend that. It's just how much he's rich in mercy, and he delights in mercy. You know, when Jesus was dying on the cross, he prayed for his enemies. He prayed for his enemies. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Even though, you know, those around them, they were all involved. They were involved in his execution, his crucifixion. They were all involved in that. He prayed for them. Do you think the Father would say, well, I can't answer that prayer, son? Nope, I'm out of mercy on them. You know, they killed my son and that's it. Can you imagine somebody killed your only son? That was a great purpose, though. God sent Jesus Christ because he loved the whole world. He loved the whole world. That sent Christ. And Christ was able to pray that because he knew what his Father was like, full of mercy, and the whole world eventually was going to experience that mercy. He's going to see it when they repent. And he prayed for his enemies on that stake. And God will answer it in his time. In his own time, God will answer that prayer that Christ prayed. Forgive them, Father. Yes, there will come a time when God will judge the nations and he will call all people to repent. Brings us to the fifth point. Because of his great mercy, he forgives all who repent. He does forgive all who repent, even the worst of sinners. And I've heard some in the church that have not been baptized, and they wonder why they haven't been baptized, and they say, well, I just don't think God can forgive me because I have done some terrible things in my life. And I just can't think that God will forgive me. They don't understand God's mercy. See, this is why God wants us to understand his mercy, his gracious and wonderful character, his gentleness. I'll give you two examples. Two examples from the Bible. One is Nineveh. Remember Nineveh? Nineveh was capital of Assyria. Capital city of Assyria. The Assyrians were a cruel people. They were a very cruel people. They liked to torture their enemies. And Israel was an enemy to them. And if they captured their enemies, they would torture them. And they would do all kinds of horrible things. They would even skin them alive and put their skins up just like, I can name a few other things that they did to the people that they captured. Anybody that didn't agree with them or was their enemy. And they would just torture them. You would want them to be destroyed, would you not? They need to be wiped off the face of the earth. They're making all these terrible things they're doing to people, all this horrible suffering that people are going through. Well, God told Jonah, he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them I'm going to destroy them. 40 days, and I will destroy them. Now, whether he told Jonah that or not, I don't know. We don't know. But that's what Jonah preached. God told him to tell them, I'm going to destroy you. But Jonah knew something about God. And Jonah knew that, you know, if God will forgive them, it's not going to work. So he runs. He says, I'm not going to do this. I am not going to do this. But God, of course, you can't say that to God. You know, God's going to figure out, he knows all kinds of ways to break us. And Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, and he repented. He repented because he ran from God. He didn't repent of something else. Something else he did not repent of. He just repented that, I don't want to be in this belly of this fish anymore. Get me out of here. I will do whatever you want. Oh, okay, let's go to Jonah. In Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's all he said. He didn't dare say anymore. He didn't want to say anymore. That was it. You're going to be destroyed in 40 days. Yeah, I hope you will. 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, the people believed. In verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And then in verse 9, the king. The word got to the king, and the king said, let everyone fast, even the animals, put sackcloth on them. Maybe God will turn, as it says in verse 9. Who could tell if God will turn and relent and turn away his fierce angers so that we may not perish? And God saw their works that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. And it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Instead of Jonah said, well, praise God that he forgave them. I can't believe he forgave this terrible people. This cruel people. And he forgave them. How merciful God is. And he should be rejoicing. But Jonah was exceedingly angry. Displeased me exceedingly. And he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, was it not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious God. He knew it. He knew that God was gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore, take my life. I want to die. Because you're merciful. Something wrong with this picture, isn't it? He's a prophet of God. He should be proclaiming the mercies, the tender mercies of God. He had a lot to learn, didn't he? He had God let a plant grow up. And, you know, God was kind to Jonah. It's a mercy he showed Jonah with the plant and everything. And the plant dies. And Jonah gets upset again. Pity's a plant. And mercy on the plant. And God nailed him in verse 10. He said, but the Lord said, you have had pity, Jonah. You've had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? Also much livestock. You know, this verse is an encouraging verse. Let us know that God is going to have mercy on all nations. You know that prophecy? All will know me from the least to the greatest. It's going to come to pass. Christ even brought that up. And when he said, Nineveh will chastise the nation of Judah, Israel, for not accepting, for not repenting, for not believing Christ's gospel. Christ said if Nineveh heard it, they'd believed. So God will have mercy and forgive all those who repent. I want to mention King Manasseh. King Manasseh, you know, was an evil king. King Manasseh was a king of Judah. And you remember his father Hezekiah was a righteous king. And Hezekiah, you know, he had done what God, he did what was right in the eyes of God. All of his time that he ruled Judah. Well, then his son come along. His son ascends to the throne at the age of 12. And his son did not like his father's religion. And he gets rid of everything that associated with God, the Creator God. He blasphemed God in every way he could. He became the enemy of God. He put to death so many prophets, so many people of God, that the nation of Judah was blood throughout all the whole country. It was a holocaust. Manasseh was an evil, very evil king. I said, is evil or more than King Ahab? I put him on the level of Hitler. He wanted to destroy all of what, you know, had to do anything with God. Well, God sent a king of Syria to capture him with bronze, you know, with fetters and with hooks and let him off to slavery. Old King Manasseh repents. He comes to his senses and he prays to a God of heaven, to his father's God, the one who blessed him. You know what God did? Forgave him. The worst of sinners. And forgave them. They forgave him and put him back. He put him back on the throne. Brings him back to Judah. And Manasseh reigned many more years. Amazing. The mercy of God. The sixth point. Because of God's mercy, there are great benefits. We need, brethren, you and I, as a church of God, need to realize, you know, there are benefits to the mercy of God. We are under the new covenant. We need to think spiritually. We need to be spiritually minded. Because, you know, when God promised Israel, ancient Israel, the blessings, they were a physical nation. And it has physical promises. They weren't even promised eternal life. They were given, you know, they were said, you know, if you do this, you'll be blessed and you go in and come out. And, you know, if you obey me, if you don't, you're going to reap the consequences of that. I said, I will bless you if you do it, if you just obey me. I'll have mercy on you. You and I in the church, we need to view things spiritually. Because see, all of these things in the ancient Israel was for our examples. See, we're under the new covenant, and we should be thinking spiritually. All the benefits that we have, sometimes we could get caught up in our physical life and not think of the spiritual things. You know, Lord God could bless me in my physical life. Oh, it's good. It's nice to have that. Yes, it's nice to have healings. It's nice to be blessed physically. You know, you have monetarily. You know, have enough money to pay your bills and things like that. But there's much more important things that God wants us to think about his benefits of mercy. And that is the fact that we've been called. The calling that God has given us. And you know, but many are called, but few are chosen. You'll be chosen. We're chosen, forgiven our sins by the sacrifice of Christ, because we really know what that means. We've been justified, we've been made right before God, because in our works, our righteousness is not filthy rags. It doesn't get us anywhere. But we know the sacrifice of Christ, his shed blood, puts us right before God. It puts us right. Receiving the Spirit of God. Wow. You have a little God, a little bit of God in you. He's given you a measure of his Spirit. What for? To mold within you his character, his nature. So that you will become like what Christ said, you shall become perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. And so that's a great benefit that God wants us to have, to receive that wonderful benefit. And he wants to see it grow. And he's having mercy on us all the time. It's growing. You know, just like you have mercy on your children, your parents who have children. Do you beat your kid every time he does something? I mean, you beat them and you finally give up. I've had it with you after his age, after two. 2 years old, you're out of the house. You're the terrible two. A lot of you must not ever have 2 year old kids. I had four of them. Well, my wife did too. She really had them. But I helped her with it. A little bit. I have to give her most of the credit. She's over there. You're good. Yep. But you know, really though, God's that way though. He's so patient with us and merciful. He's even allowed us to come to the throne of grace. He's provided that. See, Christ said, I've got to go back. There's a mercy seat there. There's a throne of grace. I've got to be there because I'm the mediator. Because you're going to need it. I'm going to send my Spirit, and it's going to convict you of sin, but you're going to need it. You're going to have to come to the throne of grace continually, and the mercy of God will be extended to you. God is rich in mercy. We need to never forget that. We should remember that every day of our life. Because when we sin, we could go to the throne of grace and God will forgive us. Christ will intercede on our behalf. Another one, he gives us a kingdom. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What a merciful thing that is. You know, that's one of the meanings of mercy, the acts of kindness. God doesn't have to do that. We could just go into the kingdom, just been another angel. No, he makes the sons of God. And we're going to be given the kingdom to rule with Jesus Christ. What an exciting time that will be. And not just for 1,000 years, but we're going to live forever. And you can't comprehend forever. You can say trillions, billions, trillions, billions, trillions, billions, and you can say that forever. You're going to live that many years. But if we only have years, you don't need any time. You don't need time. It's forever. We will understand that then. But right now, you know, that's one of the promises. Benefits of God's mercy. So, you know, we can look at the universe and we can see God's awesome power. We can see his creative ability, his wisdom, the infinite. It's infinite. That's a blessing, isn't it? Knowing that It never ends. It is a never-ending power, never-ending wisdom, never-ending intelligence. I mean, it just blows the mind. And, you know, and His love and His mercy, what a wonderful place to be. And what a wonderful being to be with for all eternity. And God wants us to see that, what He is. He wants us to know His love and His great mercy and kindness and patience, all of those things. And we should praise God every day, brethren. Praise Him every day for His great mercy. As David wrote, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." They praise God for that. Thank Him for that. Don't ever stop thanking Him. But remember, consider it. Just consider it. The mercy of God. Yes, God is love. He is rich in mercy. And brethren, we ought to bless the Lord, the great God of mercy.